This is classified allowance race here. You're going 9 furlongs on the grass. I really like this race. I made the contenders in here. He tendered. Gallon Archer. Individualist. World Court and Conquering Hero. Here's a situation. The pace line is, they're all from different tracks or distances for every contender in the race. Right? The obvious setup here for the par variant is Individualist. His last race, that's his pace line, is at this distance, this surface, this track. Can't be any more obvious. I mean, it's perfect. And he's the only one in the race that has it. So there's your obvious setup. What you're looking for in your setup times is something as close to today's distance and surface and track as you can get to adjust everybody to. This one isn't close. It's exact. 9 furlongs on this track and this surface. Okay? He's the only one in the race, so we're going to have to adjust everybody else. Okay. Pace line selections. I already mentioned it. Last race for Individualist. Okay, on he tendered, and he tendered is the second back. Gallon Archer and Conquering Hero. Excuse me. He tendered is his last race. Second back for Gallon Archer and Conquering Hero. Right. 28 June for World Court. Now here I did make some class adjustments. I'm going to go over these with you, and then I'll get into it a little bit. I gave World Court and Etandard minus 0.16 for going up two levels, and I mentioned at least. Okay? It might have been more, but I wasn't sure. But that's minus 0.16. One level is 0.08 in synergism, one level for class. Conquering Hero got a 0.08 plus for dropping one level. All right? Those are the only three class adjustments I made. Generally speaking, I make class adjustments to horses running in turf events. But let me repeat the word generally speaking. This is not a hard and fast rule for me, as I mentioned in here in the manual. But I have found, and this is a personal experience, and you'll need to develop this on your own, a feel for when you think making class adjustments are proper or improper. That's why it's a fairly open question here with synergism as to whether or not to use class adjustments. Generally speaking, class really tells on grass races, so I will be looking to make class adjustments in grass races. Seems to be working pretty well for me. You might want to look at it and see if it will also help you, but again, it's an individual thing. Okay. If you look at the readouts, again, these are ranked on Factor W. The question came up yesterday, well, this is a grass race, why don't you rank it on sustained? I know the sustained pace is very important in grass races, but I happen to think that Factor W combined with sustained is more important. And again, I don't have a profile to work with, so I've ranked everything today on Factor W anyway. And there they are, the top two. One of them was 6-1. Almost 7, and the other one was almost 25-1. Now, following Howard's direction, I'm betting 60-40 in this race. Already up, having a good day. So I put my 60% bet on World Court in here at 25-1. I really liked him. In retrospect, the better figures were on Conquering Hero, and you can tell that by looking at the printout yourself. I've also found, for me, that turn time is real important on the grass. For me. And I repeat, for me. You want to check your own handicapping to see if it holds up for you. Okay, your pace line selection is very important here when you're dealing with the grass races. And I'm talking about the two-turn grass races, not the 6.5. Okay? But here I was, and it's not very often that my second choice in a race is going off at almost 25-1. I just wish this was an exacta race. So I put the 60% on him, hoping to have a banner day. But the 40% on Conquering Hero, who paid $15, was nothing to sneeze at. Okay, so I really had a good opportunity going there. Also, something I rarely do, but Howard has chastised me enough that when my second choice is going off, or even my third choice is going off at more than 9-2, it's to make a place bet. So I did bet World Court in a nice big place bet, and he paid $20.40 to play. So that's one of the rare occasions I do that, but it paid off that day. Is there any questions on this race? This one was a lot of fun to me. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, you considered that September 5th race at Conquering Hero, the restricted handicap,
yeah, this is a classified allowance, and that was a stakes race, or a handicap of some sort. I only gave him 0.08. I mean, that's not a real big. It's obviously bigger than a classified allowance race. Yeah. Yes, they are.
I didn't understand you on the horse. You gave a +8. Because of class, was that?
Yes.
Conquering Hero?
That's Conquering Hero.
Okay, thank you.
He came out of the Escondido Handicap, which is a pretty good stakes race down there at Del Mar. And I only gave him the one level, the 0.08, and I think that's probably correct.
He's dropping
the allowance, correct. So he got a +0.08. And I gave two horses a -0.16. I think it was World Court and somebody else.
Knocks him out of the program.
No. He got a +0.08 because he's dropping from stakes into classified allowance company. He's coming down, and he's a little better than what he's going at, so he's entitled to the class adjustment. Now, I usually only do this for grass, especially from a restricted stakes link. Or a restricted handicap into a classifier.
You're only really interested in the pace line you're doing it.
That's correct.
Even though he had dropped in the previous race.
Yes, but I'm not using that pace line. That was in a grade 3 race, and that was a different track, and I'm not using that pace line. So I'm really interested in the performance of that Del Mar race and give him the credit for going against Stakes Company. That's what the 0.08 is for. It's a bonus.
Like a maiden against winners, now you do something here like this?
No, generally not. Because if we're talking about non-winners of one, as far as I'm concerned, they're all maiden winners.
Well, like a maiden horse coming back to maiden where he breaks the winners. A lot of times in the form you'll see a maiden race.
Right.
None of them have won.
Right.
But the horse, one of the horses has run with winners.
Oh, coming back against maidens again?
Coming back against maidens.
No.
No, I don't give them that. I'm real conservative, as you'll see. If you look at all of these readouts, I didn't make many class adjustments in all these races. I really have to have a reason. A lot
Anybody
of big moves.
Anybody going
to
ask the difference between World Court's mile and 16th race and mile and 8th race? All right, the difference is 0.05. Synergism adjustment to within 0.05 of each other, so either one would have got to the same result.
Yeah, and the reason I went to the 28 June race for World Court is because it happened to be the same distance as today.
The synergism adjusted that mile and 16th to be in 0.05, so don't worry about it.
In this case, in the World Court, if you start at the bottom, you come up, and you look at the pace lines from the bottom up. If you just started at the top, and that horse finished 8:37 lengths out, you just said, forget it.
No. Last two races. What's the distance and what's the class?
Well, the client, yeah, he ran in an
handicap. What's the distance?
That was a mile and a quarter.
Those are marathon races, yeah. Grade 1 marathon races. They're not pace races, they're strategy races.
But even his first one wasn't bad, but even the second and third was terrible. He ran a terrible race that last one out.
There's a reason for it.
If he only went to that.
If you used his third race back, you would have gotten 2 home.
Yeah, yeah. Within 0.05.
You would have got him.
I used the fourth race back because it happened to be the same distance as today.
Yeah.
Even though it was a different track, I used it because it was the same distance. But synergism would have given you the same horse Do you use the mile and the 16th
race? Well, what I'm saying is I probably wouldn't even put him in. He had 2 zeros in that matchup.
You would have if you looked at this suit to the class.
It's a serious mistake. Let's look at this. This is a classified allowance race.
And here's World Court. And his last race is a marathon race, is a mile and a quarter against Grade 1 Company. He doesn't belong in that race at all. I mean, his owner must have been smoking his socks to send him over there. Okay? The horse doesn't belong there. You know, owners are funny people. They're not very bright, because owning horses in the first place is a losing proposition. I mean, they lose money. Most of them. Unless you got a Ferdinand or a Secretariat or something. But for the most...
The second race would also fall into that. Then.
That's a mile and a half. Also in Grade 1 Company. That's the Sunset Handicap, which is the biggest race of the meet at Hollywood Park. He doesn't belong there either. This owner thinks he's got a world beater in here, or just wants to say, I had my horse in the Sunset Handicap, and I had my horse in the Arlington Million. Well, what'd he do? Oh, well, he didn't quite finish very well. Then. He's not going to tell him. He's not going to tell his friends he got beat 40 lengths. You know. Okay. So you can immediately throw those out. Anytime a horse is up against competition or is at a classic distance where we're not talking about pace, we're talking about a strategy race, generally won in the last quarter or half mile. What they do in the early part of the race has nothing to do with it. This horse can't even get in contention against those kind of horses, so just throw it out. Because look at, then put, you draw a line through those two races and look at the rest of them. He hasn't run a bad race. Yes?
Does that mean that, excuse me, generally that you don't make adjustments on dirt?
Generally.
We're going to get into a race here where I did make some adjustments on dirt, and you'll see why. Okay? But generally speaking, I'm not making class adjustments. Yes?
Why'd you throw out Apple's horn?
I don't know why, but I could tell you just now by looking at him that I just don't like it. His 20 August race at Del Mar, he ran against Conquering Hero. He did all right, but it looks to me like he's just such a slow starter. He really doesn't belong up here with classified types. You know, I just threw him out on the basis of class. He's 5 starts today, and he's placed twice, and that's it. Hasn't won much money. I think I don't have the class and APVs written in here. I probably threw him out because of his class. The last race on Friday, it's a flat mile. This is a pretty simple race, again. Okay, the contenders in here, Bastia, Radiantly, First Silverhawk, Unassailable, Celtic Lady. And I mentioned I only put Bastia in here because he's... So I'd have 5 horses, also for the setup times, because I did use him for the setup time. She's a pretty slow horse. All right, the setup times were Bastia, Radiantly, Celtic Lady. Okay. Obvious setup times. Anybody have any problem with that? Pace line section is easy. Last race for everybody in the race. The only class adjustment I'm making here was a 0.16 for Celtic Lady. The reason for that, if you look at the pace lines for the other 4 horses, they're all $25,000 races. Celtic Lady is a $40,000 pace line. I don't even know what the class of today's distance is. I made the class adjustment to equal the pace line selection. So she got 0.16 for dropping 2 levels down to... Right. Everybody else is just left at 0. That's the only class adjustment in here. Okay? Didn't matter. I gave her that positive. That should have helped her. She ended up as the show horse. Okay? So it didn't matter whether I gave her the class adjustment or not. It's immaterial. It did not affect the outcome of the race.
Wouldn't you consider it? $32,000 horse.
That was
the gamut there. I mean, that one last race was $40,000.
Well, I used
$40,000 race, and that was a fairly good race for her. I mean, she was close to the pace all the way around. She contested the pace all the way around. So I'm going to give her credit for that effort. And that's what the .16 was for. It's immaterial. You would have still got the winners either way. It's no big deal. And that's why I say I'm real conservative about these class adjustments. Do not get carried away with these. Okay, then it's not that big a deal. If you don't use them at all, you'll be fine. It's not, I'm telling you that right now. You can just forget the class adjustment if you want to, and you'll be fine. Sometimes you might be able to eke out another winner in 30 or 40 races by using class adjustments, and that's just that much more little edge, that's all. But if you have problems with not knowing when or when not to use them, just forget it and don't use them at all. And it won't hurt your handicapping at all. Okay, now look at the printouts here for First Silver Hawk and Unassailable. They both again tied for W. Silver Hawk has the best overall figures. Now look at Unassailable's energy. Okay. Looking at this, the printouts in this race, would you bet one horse or two horse in this race? Okay. I bet two horses in here, and I'll tell you why. Look down at the beaten length projections for Unassailable and First Silver Hawk. This projects almost a 5.5 or 6 length lead for Unassailable. And any horse that can get out alone on the front end with an uncontested early pace has a chance of stealing the race. But betting one horse in this race is a mistake for me. I bet the two horses in here, First Silver Hawk, 60%, 40% on Unassailable, and I followed your advice and I loaded up on this exact. But I also put both of these horses on top of Radiantly. Radiantly is your strong closer in this race. He's number one sustained and he's third W. He's in the top three W, two on the turn time. He didn't get in there for the exacta, but that was a little saver. And just in case our friend, our early speed friend here, Unassailable, decided to just chuck it out altogether. It didn't happen. She hung on for the play.
F3 there, showing Radiantly, is the best closer with 5092.
Well, just look at her rankings. She's third on factor W, fourth on early, one on sustained, two on the turn time. Okay. She didn't run that race that day, you know. But
well, that's the contrary.
That's
the horse.
That's the contrary.
You're absolutely right, and that's the horse that I was worried about for the place only. I was not worried about that horse winning the race
did
at all.
You didn't round robin it?
No. I boxed the top two horses because I didn't know whether Unassailable would go wire to wire or not. And there's no way that any of us could really know that. And I didn't know whether First Silver Hawk would catch her or not. But I figured it was going to be one or the other, so I boxed those two in the exacta and bet them both to win. And I put both of those on top to Radiantly.
Well, contra energy, you mean he had the lowest early energy?
No, he had the highest sustained.
Okay, because I've got the top two early and factor W horses here. My number one early, my number two early horses of the two that I'm betting. The strongest closer in the race on these readouts is Radiantly. He wasn't in the race, but on the readouts he was. You know, I didn't have the benefit of the charts before I made my bet here. Okay? Still, that's not a bad race. I mean, look at First Silver Hawk. Your number one choice in here pays $19. You would have got $16 or better on the other horse. Yeah. I mean, so you had both worlds here, and a $10 exacta got you back $244. Actually, it was a $10 box plus another 10 one way, so it was 20 to get back 244. That's not a bad return. I mean, you had everything going for you in this race. And we used the last race for every horse in here, I believe. I mean, how simple can it get? Yes?
I've noticed that the mile race on the dirt 10 has been the most predictive for factor W and early.
Is that right?
Yeah. I didn't have your knowledge. If I'd have had your knowledge, then instead of betting 60-40, this was the end of the day for me, I just had a really good day. I might have bet 50% of my bankroll if I'd have known that in this race. Seriously, because I wasn't going to get to go the next day. I was going to go back Sunday, but I wasn't going to get to go Saturday. I don't get to go very often, so if I'd have had your knowledge there, I probably would have made an awful lot of money that day.
Are
there any questions on this race?
Early energy, Molly, you enforces that you just let the factor jump over right.
I don't have a track profile. I know the 54 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know that 52, 59 is out of whack. It may be right on as far as I know. I just know the 54 is way out of whack. What concerned me about the 54 is the possibility that no other horse in the race would go with Unassailable, and she wouldn't have to run the 54 today. She might get away with a 52.5 or 52.6 and go wire to wire. That's why I bet two horses in that race. But you're right, 54 is very high, but the horse may not have to run the 54 today. That's the thing. Okay, if the horse can get away with running 52.50 today, could steal the race. Okay, any more questions on this race? Okay, I went back Sunday. It was a lousy card, but I went anyway because I made a commitment to meet some people out there. Started out with the second race. These are three-year-old fillies. Six furlongs, $32,000 claimers. I made first shower, time to sweep. Hoofers Brew, Justice Fleet, and Champagne Gold, the contenders in here. Used the last race for everybody as a pace line selection except Justice Fleet. I went to third back on Justice Fleet. I think it's fairly obvious why I went third back. The Justice Fleet is a presser or sustained pace horse and was wide in the stretch last time. Didn't really have a chance to get in the race. Second one back's at the bull ring again. And I've got a race at today's level and distance, the third back. That, for me, is an obvious pace line choice. Everybody else is the last race. Okay. Yes.
Do you have any problem with Hoofers Brew on the layout?
No. Look at the workouts. Okay. You know, to me, it appeared that, you know, those aren't spectacular times. Remember, this track's been off. But good, solid 5-furlong works. The horse looks fit and ready to me. And if I'm not mistaken, let's see. No, I don't have a layoff in here, so. Oh, here, I know why. The horse only has 6 races lifetime, and they're all here in the past performance, and he won the first one, and that's a layoff. So I figured the horse would probably be fine.
I had a bet on Hoofers Brew, but I had it number one. I'm going to have to go back to my record and see what I got. Because it came out one, and it was almost like a single bet horse. I don't know why. I must have did something wrong someplace.
Didn't do anything wrong. The horse won, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the difference in what you did.
That doesn't
mean that what you did was wrong. We all do things differently. And I'd like all of you to get out of this habit of saying, I must have done something wrong. There's no such thing as doing something wrong unless you're just plain stupid, and you don't look stupid to me, okay? This business is not precise, okay? Everybody's going to go about tackling these races in a different manner, and don't try and change your habits unless they're bad habits. What you're doing is working for you, you're comfortable with it, keep it up. Always try to improve yourself. But don't try, for example, the biggest problem we had when Tom Brougham decided he was going to teach everybody variance was everybody wanted to be like Tom Brougham, and nobody can be. He's a very bright individual, and he really understands what he's doing. And it doesn't seem that anybody else can do what he does. I can't. I admire him for what he can do, but I don't have the ability to do what that man does, and I don't think a lot of you do. But a lot of people tried. They wanted to be a Tom Brougham. do my own variance, do this and do that. They're trying to change what they are, and that's a mistake, in my way of thinking. That's one of the reasons I'm really glad that we got synergism out here. I call this my blue collar program. Anybody can use this thing. You've got to be a blooming idiot not to be able to use synergism. I mean, you've got to be... Okay. I made some class adjustments in here because they were moving around quite a bit. This is when I will make class adjustments on the race, is when there's a lot of moving around to try and even out the pace lines. And that's basically what I make class adjustments for, is kind of even everybody out. So in here, I went, first shower was a minus 0.16, going up two levels. Time to sweep, I gave him the maximum penalty that I'll give any horse, and that's minus 0.24, that's three levels. Hoof is Brew got a 0.08 for dropping one level, and Champagne Gold got a minus 0.08 for going up one level. Two of the horses were treated as shippers, Hoof is Brew and Justice Fleet. The plus sign, just enter it. The only time you have to use the sign is if it's a minus. Okay. As long as we're talking about class, let's take a little break from these printouts here. And I'm going to teach you how to establish, if you decide that you want to make class adjustments, you think they might be important, at another track. All right, we know what it is here in Southern California. I've already done the research for you. So you can do it. You can pretty much accept the 0.08. Believe me, it's right for around here. But let's suppose that you're going to go to Las Vegas and you're going to play some of the tracks that are available to you there. Now, I don't know if Aix-Arbonne's on the board over there, but let's just pick that as an arbitrary track that you want to play. And you don't have any information about class structures over there, except you do have a part-time chart, be it Quirin's or anybody's. It's immaterial. And here's how you can determine what the class adjustment would be. Has anybody got a synergism program here, a handheld? Let's fire it up, and I'm going to give you a race to put in. Now, let's say that you have this part-time chart from Aix-Arbonne. You look at the 6-furlong race, and you see that they got class levels from 6,000 up to 50,000. These are for older horses. And there's a total of 7 class levels in here. We'll just arbitrarily use 7. I don't know if there's 8, 9, or whatever. Okay? We'll just say there's 7 levels in there. All right. The part-time chart shows that the $6,000 horse, $6,000 level, has a part-time of 46 and 1 and a 112 and 2. Okay. Go ahead and put set up a race of 6 furlongs. The setup time is immaterial. Just put in whatever you want, 45 and 110, just one time. Enter the first horse as 6. Use the name 6 for the horse. And give him a 23 first fraction, 46 and 1, a 112 and 2. 0 beaten lengths. Arbitrary figures I'm just picking out of my head. All right, then you look at this part-time chart for the $50,000 horse. The part-times there are 45 and 1 and 110 and 3. And we'll give him a 22 and 3 first fraction. The first fraction is immaterial. Now enter the horse named 50. 22 and 3, 45 and 1, 110 and 3, and 0 beaten lengths. Synergism, go ahead and run. And when it gives you the beep and tells you that it's ready, give me the factor W for horse number 6. And the factor W for horse 50. What we're going to do is this. Whatever these two numbers turn out to be, we're going to subtract the lower one from the higher one and divide it by 7. And that'll give you the average difference in class levels up and down the class track levels at that those tracks. Factor W is the basis of our class adjustment. That's how we came up with the 0.08 in Southern California. Tom and I have gone through my database, which has about 5 years worth of part-times, so we know our part-times here in Southern California very good. For all the tracks, we've taken the older claiming levels and gone through and done this process here and have determined that 0.08 is the proper adjustment for one level of class. Any chart's good enough because we're talking about minuscule adjustments here, so it's immaterial. Have we got a figure?
Yeah, no, but between the,
this is the top.
Between 6 and 50, you got 44 divided by 7 equal to about 6,000.
I'm just guessing that when you look at the querence chart, you just count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or however many there are. I'm just guessing here how many levels there are.
Numbers, anybody?
Anybody got the numbers? All right, we'll come back to it then if somebody's running it.